No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tame,
tame it to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. We are your crew today for Just Plane Radio. The show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Now, Ed's in the studio with me. Keith is connected via the web. He's in St. Louis, and he's been mingling. He has a friend that contacted him, that heard him on the show, and said, hey, you're in St. Louis. I'm in St. Louis, where both our names are Keith. We should get together and have a coffee or something. A Fruffuccino, something like that, Keith. Is that how it went?
It was barbecue.
It was a barbecue.
There was no St. Louis foo-foo barbecue. Drinks involved.
No foo-foo drinks. Okay.
I imagine there was a sweet tea involved, though.
Okay,
no.
Maybe.
Yeah, okay, maybe. Exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, so you got together. You guys talked about flying, I guess, right?
We did.
Was it
we
good? Did he have interesting questions for you, or he wanted to pick your brain? You know,
well, a little bit of everything. He works at Boeing here at the St. Louis Lambert Airfield, and he works on the F-15s.
Really?
And so that was interesting to me to talk. You know, he didn't want to talk about that too much, but I did.
Now, working on the F-15s, does that mean you get to fly them a little bit too? Because don't you have to fix them, and then you got to test fly them to make sure they're working correctly?
Well, they do, but he doesn't get to do that.
They won't let him do that much, huh?
No.
Okay.
No, they let them work on the tail, and that's all they let them work on.
Yeah.
And then they have these special people that they call test pilots or something that they pay a lot of money to take them out and play around. We get to watch them.
Yeah.
You know, because they, you know, you can hear them.
But what did he have? What did he want with you? I mean, why did he want to pick your brain on some kind of training
make that,
thing?
You make that sound negative.
well, maybe. I don't know. I mean,
Keith, you got to understand, you know, for once, it's not all about Greg.
Well, it is about me, but when I usually get contacted from one of our listeners, it's usually something along these lines, which, let's see, someone, Larry posted from Phoenix. He goes, hey, I listen to Just Plain Radio on my Friday drive to work from Zuma to Arizona, and I'm a student pilot. Should be completed with my training by the end of the next couple months. And, you know, it does make me wonder when I'm listening to your show, because I'm younger and I have four kids, but I'm still able to complete my private pilot's license. What is Greg's holdup? Shouldn't you be done by now?
Well, see?
Yeah. So
he
this
should.
Is the
see,
kind of...
Now, there you go.
What? What do you mean,
I mean, he's got it. He's got an excellent point.
Yeah. Well, I guess what I'm trying to find out is, like, the comments that you got from your friend there that contacted you through the show, was he busting your balls like I get, you know, the emails and things to me? Or was it more like, hey, he really did want to hang out and have a coffee?
Well, he did. And we spoke a lot about flight training. We spoke a lot about training. In general.
Did he bring up the fact, like, hey, what's the deal with Greg? Why doesn't he have his private pilot license yet? Did he bring that up?
There was zero interest in you at all.
What?
See, I told you it wasn't about Greg, and it's really bothering him.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we're going to have to change our course then, obviously.
I think your name was mentioned once, and it was not
in vain.
No, it was in more of a derogatory
type
you know, thing. So it was perfectly right on cue and, mm-hmm. and, you know, to the point and was, you know, very appropriate.
So you're just sharing pilot stories, just buddies, just hanging out like you're at the hangar and you just got together and chit-chatted a bit, huh?
We did.
And after your conversation.
You know, he's got some great goals, and he wants to be a missionary pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And so he is working towards that. That's why he's learning how to fly.
Nice.
So he's got some goals that he wants to. Like, you had goals.
No, I have goals. I still have
using
goals. Well, come on. What do you mean?
Yeah, but The facts of the case are that he is, you know, doing whatever he can to attain those goals, kind of like that gentleman from Phoenix, whereas you just kind of have an excuse all the time.
I have no excuse. It's just, you know, time.
You heard him, Ed. You heard him, Ed. He said he's got no excuse.
Yeah.
I don't. I have no excuse. You guys have been too busy at the flight school to train me, train some schmo like me. And
That's why you can't be a pilot, because you won't accept responsibility. Pilots have to be responsible for their own actions.
I am definitely taking responsibility. I'm just very respectful of your time. You know, my time, you know, is a little crazy. You know, Hollywood's been knocking on my door, and I've had to, you know, put on my acting shoes and do a little stuff this week at Universal Studios. And we're not really at liberty to say what it was, but let's just say that Sharknado 3 was filming in Orlando last week. That's all we'll say. And you know, because of this type of thing that goes on, you know, I have a lot of responsibilities, and people are pulling me in different directions and are pulling me apart in different directions, maybe in this case. And that has a tendency to interfere with my flight training schedule. But that doesn't mean I'm not, I don't still have it as a goal, because I do. I need it. I got to get my pilot's license so I can, you know, get out there and get to some of these places back and forth quicker. That's my goal, is to be more efficient, and to be a private pilot is going to make me more efficient. So there, see, it's still a goal. That counts for something, all doesn't right. it? No?
Well, we'll see. Ed and I will discuss that. But,
yes.
But Keith's goals are to be a missionary pilot, to bring the gospel to people, and to bring clothes and food and medicine and things like that. So he's got some great goals.
That's kind of nice. Now, where does he want to fly to and being a missionary? Just wherever they're needed, like, you know, like a Haiti situation or something, after some kind of, you know, earthquake type of deal or thing, or just wherever the need arises? Or is he focused on a particular place that he knows needs help and he wants to help those folks?
Well, he has a couple of places in mind, but he is certainly open to go where he is felt needed and called.
Well, so we might have some good contacts for him in Bruce and Brent with Wycliffe. That a couple of customers are,
yes,
that were Bush pilots, or were mission pilots,
yeah,
and actively employ and use mission pilots around the world.
Well, that's what the folks at Kodiak do, right? Yeah. With the Kodiaks.
Well,
isn't
no,
that part
no.
of their thing.
They give an airplane to a mission organization. So many that they sell, they give an airplane to a mission. Mm-hmm.
They don't do that anymore.
Oh, they don't. Oh, well, that's right. They just got sold, didn't they?
They were bought out.
That's right. The Japanese bought them. Talked about that last week.
Yeah.
But they might still have some element of that in it. You never know.
But no,
they don't.
You don't think so?
Yeah. You know, so, you know, like I say, let them know we've got some contacts there, that people that have done it, and as well as are actively still involved in that. That's still part of their ministry.
Yeah. Okay, well, that sounds good. I'm kind of a charity case. I don't know if there's something that he'd be willing to fly out here and pick me up and take me someplace.
Here the truth comes out.
No?
Yeah.
Hey,
if you know, Ed,
if
you just get them talking long enough, they finally begin to confess of their own volition.
What are you talking about? I don't even know what you're saying. You quit talking this foreign language stuff. All right, so, you know, I actually went to my doctor today. Just family physician, and was having a little checkup, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the third class medical got brought up, because he said, are we going to do a full physical today? I says, well, I don't know, because I'm kind of waiting to see where this whole thing goes with the FAA and the third class medical certificate. You think that's going to happen, where we won't need that for private pilots anytime soon? Because mine's expired now, so I got to get that redone before I pick up the training again, too.
Who's your? I didn't know your doctor was also your AME.
No, he's not.
Oh, okay.
So, but he said, yeah, that's kind of a interesting little scam some of those physicians have, don't they?
Yeah.
It's a cash-only business. I heard it's pretty lucrative. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it could be.
But,
could
yeah, be. Jealous. Yeah, jealous, yeah. You know, I would like to think it's going to come through. If you talk to the people at AOPA, last time you talked to Tom Haines, you know, it's in process, but they also think it should have been moved along to the next level already.
Yeah.
And they're fully ready to try to work from the legislation side of it.
Yeah.
So,
well, see, that's one of my other
excuses. I'm thinking by the end of the year, they're hoping for sooner, but I'm thinking realistically it'd be the end of the year before, they pulled out.
I want to start my training back before then.
Well, then get your physical.
Yeah. Or I got to get back in the sim. I can do that without the medical, right?
Your wife will appreciate it if you go back to the doctor again.
Yeah.
Well, no, I got a clean bill of health. Everything was really good. He was, like, very impressive because he didn't perform a physical. He said, "You look great." And I was like, "I'll take it."
Oh, boy.
Yeah. All right.
Well, see where this show's going.
Should have taken the Coke bottles away from his eyes.
Maybe. Maybe. All right. Coming up, we got someone from the Recreational Aviation Foundation next on Just Plain Radio. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Actually, we're going to take off soon, so we're going to need you to turn off your phone.
I'm actually not done talking, and two more.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. We're flying a G6, evidently, and getting our freak on. Ed's like doing the worm in the studio here in Orlando. Keith,
no, I'm not.
Is doing the sprinkler, I think, to that. Is that what it was, Keith? Is that what that or was? Or was that a seizure? What was that exactly?
Well, it could certainly be qualified as both.
Yeah, I'm guessing so. All right. Well,
I kind of dance like Elaine.
Yes, I could see that happening for sure. We brought on some big guns for the show today. Dave Myrick from the Recreational Aviation Foundation is on Just Plain Radio. Dave, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great this evening. And yourself?
We're good indeed as well. And, you know, you guys do a lot of great work. We were actually hanging out with a group of you. I don't know if you were there yourself, but it was Sun and Fun last year. Having their big, well, I don't know, it was like a potato bake kind of thing. It was just a fun social event with aviators across the country converging on that that part of the country. Were you part of that group that time, or were you somewhere else?
I was still here in Arkansas, but I put on one of the potato bags myself, and nothing draws folks like free food.
Exactly. Free food. It doesn't necessarily have to be potatoes. That kind of makes it a little bit more unique, because when they said, hey, we're having a potato bake, I'm like, is that what I think it is? And it ended up being that. And, you know, they were tasty taters. And
tasty
I guess that's all that matters when it comes to aviators. You know, like you said, they like the free food. But the Recreational Aviation Foundation does some great work. And the overall mission of the organization is to keep private airstrips open and accessible to general aviators across the country. Do I got it right?
That's pretty darn close. And that's what we strive for. With what it is that we do, maintaining, preserving, and creating recreational and backcountry airstrips nationwide.
And you would think this wouldn't be that hard of a thing to do, or a mission that would be, you know, everybody would be on board with, but it's not necessarily the fact that people don't want to keep these airstrips open. There's some kind of insurance liability, or the property owners have problems with keeping their airstrips open to, you know, from people that aren't necessarily their close personal friend type of deal? Is that it? Is that what's going on, or what?
That has a lot of the local resistance. There's so much litigation in the country these days that the private airstrip owners are reluctant to just allow folks, especially ones they don't know, fly into their airstrips. And that's one of our main missions, is to try to pass legislation in each state to where the recreational use statute provides the airstrip owners with liability protection.
All right, so just just kind of like you use it at your own risk kind of thing, and if you do something wrong or mess up or crash, you can't come back on the property owner. Is that what it is?
That's exactly the reason. This was actually started in 1965 by the Council of State Governments to take pressure off of state and federal lands for recreation by providing the private landowners liability protection when they allow the public to use their property.
So your biggest advocates obviously are pilots that want access to these airstrips and having these fun little stops along the way and parks and property across the country. But are your biggest foes like what lawyers or something, or the insurance company? What's going on?
That seems to be our general most opposition is from the lawyers that have a hard time understanding that it's the property owners that generate their business, in a sense, to where if you start to allow more folks to use private airstrips, not that there's going to be more accidents or incidents, what it does is it increases recreational aviation overall.
Yeah, well, that would make sense. I mean, are you guys using any at the flight school, Ed? Are there any of those? Those are all like community strips here in Central Florida, right?
Our legislation that we work to get passed deals with the private airstrip owners.
Okay, yeah.
And there are quite a few private airstrips around us, then we don't use any of them other than there's one we do have permission to make landings on, but the rest of them we generally stay away from unless it was emergency. We teach everybody, we make low approaches to them. Practice landing, but we actually don't actually touch down because we don't want the liability ourselves either.
Right, understood. Well, but emergency, yeah.
You
land wherever
you
want to land, right.
That's right.
But as far as like a private airstrip, like what they're talking about,
yeah.
This is a situation where technically you still would have to get, or you're supposed to get permission from the landowner, right?
Well,
It does not negate the prior permission to land, which is really more of a courtesy,
Right.
Us pilots are actually a pretty courteous group.
Yeah, hey, come talk to me. I'll give you a tater. How much more friendly can you get? Seriously.
Yes. Or as some people say, oh, I see you're making another emergency landing. Well, that's okay.
Right. Well, it is. It's a very social activity when you get out to some of these places, and that's how a lot of people connect across the country when they're flying their planes around, and they meet this person at a little FBO and say, hey, I got a private airstrip. Come on over. We'll have a hot dog, or we'll have dessert, finish off that $200 hamburger in style or something. So yeah.
I live at a little small family airpark in northwest Arkansas, and we always welcome folks to fly in.
Nice. Well, and that's really what the organization does, is bring everybody together and kind of give them a voice and give them a roadmap or a flight plan to approach their local legislators in their state so they can keep this stuff going on. I know you had some success in West Virginia. I saw a press release on that this week, and you're just trying to replicate that across the country. Is that the plan?
That is the plan. I am one of the national advisors for the recreational use statute, and working with the different states to try to get this legislation passed. And we don't try to amend the statute. We just like to try to get a clarification. They use definitions of recreation in the statute, and we just want to make sure that the private airstrip owners have the same property rights as every other private landowner who allows recreation on their property.
Yeah, well, you know, it sounds like a no-brainer, but when you're dealing with politicians, you gotta sometimes hit them over the head and make sure that they
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, law Captain Ed, and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals, FTPros.com, the website you can go to and connect with those guys and learn how to fly. Like I will eventually. I will eventually get it done. I'll get my private pilot license with them once I figure out my medical and all this other nonsense. I'll get it done. I will. I haven't given up. I haven't given up hope. And just because, you know, use me as an example of what not to do. Maybe that's my role here on Just Plane Radio.
Well, you're doing it very well.
Well, thank you. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it the best I possibly can. And I'll spin it that way. All right. By the way, the Recreational Aviation Foundation, they've been involved in, what did he say, 3,500
Over the 25 states that they've got the legislation passed, they've opened up over 3,500 private airports for pilots to use. 3,500 airports.
And he
said those are the only, that's only the list of the ones that are actually FAA approved. There are other strips out there that are not approved by the FAA.
Yeah.
So they don't fall under that classification, but that's a big number.
And I think that also translates into at least 35 different tater bakes across the country. I'm just saying.
He's focused on the tater today, Keith.
We have to call him a pilot because he has soloed an airplane.
Yeah, I just thought that was a pilot,
so he's there for the free food.
Yep,
yeah, that's right. I got my.
I think actually he learned that in the radio biz, but damn.
Yeah, it could be. That could be a radio thing. We wouldn't have been able to eat if it wasn't for free food. But yeah, you know, taters. I don't know. When I saw that at Sun and Fun, I thought that was kind of a unique spin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're a weenie roast and marshmallows, s'mores. You know, a lot of camping. But a tater bake was a new one for me.
Yeah.
And I was like, is that really what it sounds like? And sure enough, they throw a bunch of taters in a fire pit and let them cook for a few minutes and yummin'.
Good stuff.
Hey, we got a lot of aviation news to cover today. Of course, there's a new spin on the...
Another drone.
Another drone story is
actually,
coming
there's
your
been
way.
A lot on drones.
Yes, so we'll cover them next. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Any of you boys seen an aircraft carrier around here?
Nine by nights away from here. Change my life again. Nine by night, goodbye, my dear. Ship is a coming, I'm a just captain.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. Hey, a lot of fly-ins going on all around the country. Just to give a little plug for one that caught my eye, the Cactus fly-in is going on March 6th. That is in, where else? Grand Grande, Arizona. So
I think it might be a long flight to get there.
Or Casa Grande.
Casa Grande.
Yeah. And Arizona. What do you mean? It might be a long what?
Flight to get there.
Well, for us, but I'm not necessarily saying that we're going to go there. I'm just saying there's a fly-in going on all over the country almost every weekend as we get into spring. Yeah.
Well, and a great place to find out what's going on near you is go to Social Flight. It's an app on your, you can get on your iPhone. And
righto.
They'll give you all the things locally, plus an email saying, hey, this is what's going on in your area mm-hmm. this weekend.
There you go. All right, so drones are in the news, so of course we've got to cover them. FAA,
Keith,
what?
I think
just
we need to talk.
Drone radio.
Yeah, I think we need to change the name of the program.
Actually, I like his delivery. It was just drone radio. You know, because you would have to, you know,
yeah,
drone
it's mechanical,
on.
Mechanical, yeah. I get it.
It's been in the news a lot, and I kind of, you know, when these things popped up a couple of years ago, it definitely kind of worried me as a student pilot, because, mm-hmm. you know, first I'm thinking I got to avoid birds, and I got to avoid the ground, you know, things
gotta
like
avoid
that.
Ed, yeah, got to avoid Keith, got to avoid the airport.
Yeah, well, different thing.
But, now, you know, okay,
mm-hmm.
I've seen probably three things in the last week.
Yeah.
Okay.
On drones?
On drones.
UAVs?
One was a video posted by a friend who actually is living in Germany, a former customer of ours, and it was of a guy flying his drone to 3,300 feet above the clouds.
What?
And that just pissed me off.
Yeah. What, he had posted it on YouTube or
something? Posted on YouTube. And he did end up crashing it, which I was like, yes. In the descent because he lost control of it and
but he was bragging that he had went so high.
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and it's like, and there's video of it because he had a camera on it, GoPro on it, the whole thing.
Where was this?
It was somewhere in Germany because it was 1,000 meters where he went. And he was definitely mm-hmm. using the metric system. But
yeah,
but he, you know, on top of a cloud layer, and it's like,
dude, what are you thinking?
Exactly,
you're not thinking.
And here's the issue with the rules that are coming out. This guy wouldn't know the rules because there are already rules in Germany against that.
Mm. And he did it anyway.
Does it anyway.
Ah.
You can't fix stupid.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know how you're going to be able to solve that problem.
No.
I mean, you know, the rules that the FAA proposed last week is just for commercial operations of drones.
Yeah.
And so they haven't even addressed the recreational market other than they've said, well, we would like the hobbyists to abide by a certain standard, blah, blah, blah. You know, kind of like, tell them not to do dumb stuff. What's that?
Which is like 400 feet AGL. And this guy was at 3,300.
Yeah. Well, exactly. That's insane.
Yeah.
Any way you look at it, it doesn't make any sense. And he's a pilot, too. Is that what is he?
No.
Oh,
no,
he's not.
He wasn't.
Yeah.
He posted it, and he basically had the same opinion that I do, that it really upset him that guy's getting into areas where airplanes could be.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, when you see all the, you know, especially when I look at it from my diving background and my scuba radio show, a lot of the underwater photographers are getting into quadcopters and shooting topside video of dive boats and things like that. And same thing with our boating show. They're using this aerial photography to capture some really cool angles of boating things and diving things or surfing stuff and all this kind of stuff. And, yeah, and I think about it from an aviator standpoint. They don't think about it from that. They think, oh, the planes are somewhere else. There's plenty of sky.
We had that happen 2 weekends ago at the drill team practice that we have on Sunday mornings.
Mm-hmm. You're part of a drill team? Like a cheerleader thing?
Yes, exactly. I wear a little skirt, a little halter top.
No. It's more like the Shriners guys in the parades.
Oh, I love it. Okay, yeah. You mean the drill team with the motorcycles.
He doesn't like when I make that analogy.
Yeah. Because he wears a beanie, though, doesn't he?
It would be a fez, but no, he doesn't.
Oh, he doesn't wear
He's
those?
Told me that many times.
Okay.
We should probably let him talk.
No, I don't.
All right, let him talk.
And we do much more than what the Shriners do. We don't just do circles. But okay. Anyway.
You're right. That's about all they did.
The guy pulled up, got out of his truck, opens up the back, pulls out this quadcopter with a GoPro on it.
Right.
And starts flying over the top of us.
Okay.
Just so that he could get video of it from the top. You know,
from
he
that perspective. Yeah.
And that's what's happening all over the place, you know. And he was going up a couple hundred feet, you know, just because it's an open parking lot and he can do it.
Right.
And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that is going to hurt us aviators is that kind of guy. He's not a pilot.
Right.
He's got no idea until, of course, we explained it to him.
Well, you know, you guys are established flight instructors. And, you know, I come in this pretty green from not knowing. And I remember thinking when we first started getting up in the airplane or started the flight training that I didn't realize that there were all these highways in the sky. There's different airspace, and you got to worry about birds and things. Because, you know, typical people look up in the sky, and they see a plane every few minutes or so, but you think, well, there's tons of sky. It isn't like on a road. You don't think of the traffic.
Big sky theory has prevented a lot of accidents, but it's not as big as it used to be.
Well, exactly. But you don't think of it as being congested like a highway, like we're used, like people that are not familiar with aviation in that regard. And that's a real eye-opener, I think. You learn that real quickly, like, oh, whoa, wait a minute. It isn't as wide-open blue skies as you think it is. You got to stay on your toes, as we've learned, especially when we're flying into events, fly-ins, or something like Sun and Fun, for instance. So,
that was our practice area.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, when you throw, so when I picked up on that and I thought about this drone thing, I'm thinking, these people that are flying these, they have no reference like that understand.
I was like, well, how did he know he was at 3,300 feet? Well, evidently there's instrumentation on his controller.
Yeah.
And there's a GPS in the
computer.
Receiver, it was a
transmitter.
And so it had its GPS position, and he knew where it was the whole time.
Right.
He knew how high it was.
Well, they're operating these things with their iPhones now.
Yeah.
Like an app.
Well,
you don't even need a.
Yeah.
Some of them will use just an app on an iPhone. And they're using.
The only good thing that, you know, we can say is that there's not near as many airplanes over there. Because general aviation is not near as big over there as it is here.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. But and their rule over there is 500 feet. It shouldn't have been above 500 feet.
Yeah.
And this guy knew it. And he, you know, there's some talk I've heard of technology limiting the altitudes on these things.
Yeah.
And
from a technical standpoint.
If there was a GPS on board, they could.
Well, 500 feet is what the FAA is proposing to.
I thought it was 400. No, maybe it's 500.
I thought it's 500 feet. Yeah. I think 500
that
feet
makes
below
sense.
55 pounds and less or less, and that kind of, and you have to have a certificate to actually train to operate it for commercial purposes. So okay, that's great, but once again, it still doesn't address the recreational thing, and they're going higher.
We're
going to
have
too.
A commercial pilot quadcopter license, and then we're going to have a private pilot quadcopter license,
something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But here's the kicker. So after all of this stuff, that's a big enough mess as it is, and they're trying to figure out what they're going to do with this proposed rule. The comment period's going on now, and they're going to have some meetings, and you can go and make your voice heard or go to the FAA website and submit some comments. I see this this post this week about a guy who's complaining, like, wait a minute. they're wanting to put these things out here, and they're coming up with these rules. They haven't even addressed. There's nothing in here about addressing hacking, because these are things that are based on radio signals, and they're very easily hacked, where somebody could come in and you're flying
take
your quad,
over.
Yeah, flying your quadcopter, and some schmo comes over and takes control over it and flies it into a crowd or God knows some terrorist kind of thing, or just takes it, you know, steals it. And like, are we not opening ourselves up to even worse liability than just innocent mistakes?
Yeah.
That is kind of scary, creepy, end of the world kind of stuff. What do you think?
Well, let's get into the general public with this. Mm-hmm. Last week there were a number of news stories coming out of Paris where,
a
few nights in a row, drones were spotted flying over the city, and of course they were just targets of a very big terrorist attack, and so they're really uneasy about that right now.
Yeah, were they just filming, trying to get some pictures? Was it some other sinister type of plot? Who knows? But we got a big bag of poo or goo. You take your pick.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
This test today, it's important.
I got it. I'm going to make you look good up there. Don't worry, okay? Now let's get these pants off and fly some planes.
I'm learning to fly around the clouds. But what goes up must come down.
This is Just Plain Radio. Gregor, co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. FTPros.com, the website to go to and connect with those guys. And they'll teach you how to fly, if you'd like. And you'll become a private pilot before I do. Maybe. Slight chance. It depends on when you start. All right, so we've covered the drone situation as much as we can for this week, I think. However, there's some other stuff going on that's, I don't know, loosely connected. Kind of crazy, futuristic type stuff. End of the world, I don't know. But, you know, you hear about, you know, well, they got the Virgin Atlantic thing where They're trying to fly people up into space.
That would be Virgin Galactic.
Well, yeah. Okay. Hopefully. Let's hope they don't mix those two accidentally. But you know, they had a little mishap there a few months ago, and that one's been derailed a little bit. But I didn't know there's another company trying to do the same thing that's competing with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other one that I had no idea about, that there was a company that's planning to fly balloons. Mm-hmm. Up to a real high altitude like that on the edge of space.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, okay, and it's like $75,000 to do this, which I understand the spaceship thing. I can understand people.
Well, that's a little bit more than $75,000. I think yeah, that's a quarter mil.
Exactly. But you go up in a balloon, real high altitude. I don't know if you get to the gravity issue part of it, but. Yeah. They say you get to see the edge of space where it turns black.
Yeah, where it turns black and you see the curvature of the Earth.
Is that worth $75,000? I don't know.
I'd probably pay it.
Wouldn't you pay that?
I would never go on a balloon, but that's beside the point.
You don't trust that mode of transportation.
Mm.
You'd rather have wings on a motor type of vehicle?
Mm, yeah.
What about you, Keith? What do you think? No? Yes?
I don't know. I would try.
Yeah, you would try this? You would give it a go? I mean, so sure. Is it for something like that? I guess I didn't read the part where it says, I don't know if they get up to the part where you would actually, go weightless.
No. So they're not going to come back down.
Wouldn't that be the whole point of flying into space? I mean, to be able to see where the sky goes black. As opposed in the curvature of the Earth a little bit, I don't know if I would say, okay, I've been there, done that, maybe. But if you didn't at least get weightless and you could fly around like Sandra Bullock and gravity or
what's
something.
What's the altitude that an Air Force pilot earns their astronaut wings? I believe it's like a 130,000 or something like that.
130,000 feet?
Yeah.
Okay, so, but once again, you don't lose gravity at that point, do you? What is the feet, do we know? That's part of the new math, so I know I don't know what it is. but it's way up there. I mean, but you can't fly a plane. If you lose gravity, you won't be able to fly anyway. You'd have to be on a spaceship, right?
Well, yeah.
You have to be outside the Earth's
atmosphere.
Whatever. Yeah. And so, I don't know. I just don't really get the whole balloon thing. I get the flying thing of flying into space and being able to go into space and you're weightless and you do that whole thing. That would be kind of cool. Just like, they have the simulated weightlessness if they plunge back to Earth. But I just don't get the whole thing like, hey, let's go up there and in a balloon at the edge of the atmosphere and be able to see the edge of space. I don't know.
I don't get going down underneath the water and looking at a wreck, but that's just
what
me.
You've never done it. You wouldn't. It's totally.
Yeah, I did.
You're weightless, Ed.
I did.
You're weightless.
I've
like
done
an
it.
Astronaut. See,
basically, I did it so I could say I did it.
I'm more of an astronaut than you are.
Astronaut, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Well, let's just move on. Matter of fact, we've already lost Keith. Yeah, I think he went to space. So we'll just let him go and move on. All right, so maybe maybe balloons aren't your mode of transportation.
No, balloons definitely not my mode.
Well, what about a Gulfstream G650?
Yes, G650 works for me.
Yeah, I guess they just, there's a press release that just went out this week that they just recently did a round-the-world trek in a G650 and only had to make one stop. For fuel.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive.
That is really
I didn't see what the time was, but it was like a 10-hour
That's not a standard G650, though, is it? What are they calling it?
An ER.
Extended range.
Extended
range, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So they would just have extra, fuel tanks.
Yeah.
Just like you would on, like when Abington's talking about those.
Yeah, things. They probably don't have them in the cabin, though.
You don't think so?
No, I think the people paying for the flight want the nicety of the cabins like we saw at NBA.
Yeah, that'd be a long way. Why would you do that, though? It's like,
Well, they've got bathrooms, they've got a full kitchen, they got bedrooms, because
they
can.
But wait a minute, if you can fly around the world, like say if we're taking off from Orlando, and we have the capability to fly around the world. Well, we wouldn't have left in the first place if we were flying entirely around the world.
Well, it's going back to why would you go to the edge of space? Because we can. To say we did it.
Okay, so you
check it off the list.
All right, yeah, so you could just have a day-long party in an airplane. That would be kind of fun. I guess from that standpoint, to mark it off the list from that standpoint. But yeah, as far as having that capability, I don't know if it's really a need.
Well, think about this as far as making a long-range trip like from here to Singapore without having to make a fuel stop.
Well, true, yeah. You wouldn't have to worry about getting fuel along the way or... That would make sense.
And that's what those heavy jets are all about, are making those intercontinental trips like that.
Yeah.
Or the cross-continental trips. They're not really for, even though they use them all the time, so you go from here to maybe Atlanta. But the reality is they're made for the longer legs.
Okay. And the less you have to rely on the local facilities.
Yeah.
You know, you're flying to some third world country or something. And yeah, I understand. That makes sense.
You're sold.
So Gulfstream, send us a 650. We'll put it to proper use here at Just Plain Radio.
Yeah, I like it.
And we'll leave it at that for this week. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plain Radio is brought to you by JustPlainRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plain Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlainRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plain Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plain Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlainRadio.com.